Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
You may have heard about HBO's documentary series. It's called The Jinx. And it's been touted as the television version of Serial, the podcast so many of you have been listening to. And I was in the States recently, actually, around Patrick's Day, and it was all the talk, all the TV shows in the morning, all the newspapers were talking about The Jinx and Robert Durst. The programme, to give it its full title, is called The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. It's a six-part examination of this guy, a reclusive millionaire at the heart of three killings that spanned four decades. And Robert Durst, if you don't know, he's the heir to a New York real estate empire. He's long been a suspect in the notorious 1982 disappearance of his wife, a lady called Kathy. And then there are two unresolved killings of his confidant, Susan Berman, and another one we'll talk about in a minute. Durst is now 72 years old and had consistently maintained his innocence, but he was arrested in New Orleans on March the 14th, before the final episode of The Jinx was broadcast in America. And he's been charged with the murder of Susan Berman, his confidant, and is expected to be extradited to Los Angeles, where he could face the death penalty if convicted. So we're going to talk now to New York, where a former RTE colleague of ours by the name of Geraldine McInerney, who appeared in the HBO series as she was a close friend of Kathy's sister. Geraldine, a very good morning to you, and thanks for taking our call today.
Good morning. I want some of the coffee cake.
Oh, it's really delicious. And I honestly, if I could send it to you by magic, I'd send you a slice right now because it's damn good. But another time, maybe when you're back home, we'll organise that.
So, thank you.
Not at all. Let's talk about this this story, if you don't mind. Tell me a little bit about Kathy Durst, the wife of Robert.
Well, Kathy was 19 when they got married and she was 29 when she disappeared. She was a final year medical student and a really, really super, super girl. She was gorgeous looking and just enchanting, I think is the word that you would use. And she just went up to the country with Bob on a Saturday morning and was never seen again.
Now, you were close because you were very good friends with Kathy's sister, Mary.
Right. And Mary and I lived in a three-story brownstone, which was owned by the Dursts. So Mary lived on one floor, I lived on another floor, and a cousin of Dursts lived on the third floor. So, you know, it was a very small little community, and we became very close. And then Mary and I worked together.
Okay, okay. So let's talk about Kathy then, Durst's wife. And we need to go back to 1982. And if we go to Friday, January 29th, this was the last time you saw Kathy.
That's right. I met with Kathy because I wanted to leave the Durst building because it didn't have a doorman and I was the only one there at the weekend. And she had an apartment on 86th Street, which she used to use as a boat hole, really, because when Durst was pretty violent and when she wanted to get away from him and study, she was studying to be a doctor, she would go to 86th Street, but he wanted to get rid of it, and so I was looking at it with the idea of subletting it. So she and I went there on a Friday night, and I looked at the apartment, which was great, and we chatted. And at the time, I was working for a company which one of their clients was the Rolling Stones, and the Rolling Stones were in concert, and Kathy had a big crush on Keith Richards. So she said to me, you know, is there any chance that you could get me tickets? And I said, sure. And then she said, come on back to my house. We had a bottle of wine, a glass of wine. And we went back and Bob Durst was there, her husband. And he was, I remember, lying on the floor smoking dope. He was a big, big dope smoker. And we sat down and we were talking. And he went to bed and said, remember, we have to be up early in the morning. And she turned to me after he left and she said, God, I really, really don't want to go up there. And she said, and besides, I have so much study to do. And I said, so why don't you just tell him? And she looked at me and she said, are you crazy? And then she said, but sort of like, you know, you'd say to somebody, oh, God, I couldn't do that. They'd kill me. But she didn't say it like that. She said, he'd kill me.
That's eerie, isn't it?
Yeah. And he did.
Tell me a bit about, as you call him, Bob Durst. I mean, obviously, complicated is one word. Violent, a rich, violent, sounds like a psychopath or a sociopath of some description.
Very taciturn. I mean, you definitely would not sort of think to yourself, oh, I'll phone Bob and we nip out and have a meal or
right.
whatever.
Right.
I mean, he was almost antisocial.
Yeah.
He would like, you know, grunt at you and talk under his breath. Now, I didn't know him when he and Kathy got married, but apparently he was somewhat more approachable and a nicer guy at that point. But as time went on, he became, you know, more and more reclusive, and as I said, more and more taciturn. He was just kind of a bit, when I knew him, I would say weird.
Weird.
He went
off with Kathy with the words echoing in your ear, he'd kill me if I don't go, sort of thing. When you heard that Kathy had disappeared, did you think the worst immediately?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it was like a chill. I thought, oh, my God. And it was funny because Mary phoned me, her sister, and she said, Geraldine, have you heard from Kathy? And I said, well, you know I haven't, because on the Monday, Kathy was supposed to call me and, to find out about the Stones tickets. And I said to you on Monday, Kathy didn't call. And she said, well, Bob just called, and he said she's missing. And I said, what? And it was funny because I thought immediately, oh, dear God, he's killed her. But I couldn't bring myself to say it to Mary. You know, this was her sister.
Yes.
And that was a Thursday evening. And for about 5 days, we both circled around it. She didn't say to me, I think he killed her. I didn't say it to her because, you know. And then finally, the following Tuesday, I said to her, don't you think it's odd the police haven't been in touch with you? Because they hadn't. And she said, yeah. And then I said, you know, Mary, on the Friday night, and I told her what Kathy had said to me. And I said, I think he killed her.
God.
And she said, Geraldine, I think he did too.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
And did you drive up to the country house then to take bags of rubbish?
Oh, we did.
And what did you find in those bags? No, sorry, am I confusing the story?
Well, they sort of did a little bit of, took artistic license because I wasn't with the girl who went up that night.
Okay, so the movie.
Tom Hughes, who's Mary's husband, and Mary and I went, the three of us, up to the house. And we went in, the door was open, and Tom went into the bedroom and he came out and he said, girls, look at this. And he had a little note in his hand, and it said, dig, town dump, boat, rent car, truck. And we all looked at each other and said, oh, my God, it's like a list of what you do to get rid of a body. And then we went outside, and there was a rubbish bin, and there was a beautiful tweed jacket, which had been just split up the back. And there were textbooks of Kathy's. And it was like really, really strange. And we went back into New York and called the police and said, you know, you've got to see this. But, Ryan, the police didn't care. I mean, the guy who was the lead detective, his name was Mike Strzok, who was a complete dumbo. He said to us, quote, and this in resonate, given I'm sure that you all know about what's been going on about white on black cops shooting black people. He said, well, you know, if this guy was poor and black, we'd take him into the back room and beat him with a telephone book until we got a confession out of him. And he said, because he's white and rich, we can't touch him. And they didn't. I mean, they really, really did. Nothing.
Okay, so we'll park that element of the story for a moment and go to, just to fill people in about Geraldine, about, I'll just quickly fill in a couple of gaps here. Maurice Black was a neighbour of this guy, Bob Durst. And he...
Ryan, what didn't come out is that Black was also a neighbour of Durst in New York. around the time that Kathy went missing.
Okay. Okay. And at his murder trial, this neighbour was murdered, and Durst argued that they'd had a row and he acted in self-defence, accidentally shooting his neighbour before dismembering him and throwing his body parts in Galveston Bay. The jury were convinced that he was indeed self-defence and he walked free.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable.
But now we have to introduce a third party to proceedings, which is the writer and confidant to Bob Durst, a lady called Susan Berman. And we're going to Christmas Eve of 2000. She was found shot dead at her home in Beverly Hills. Why does Durst become a suspect for this murder?
Because at the time that Kathy went missing, I was a publicist then, and Bob phoned me on the Friday. Mary told me on the Thursday that Kathy was missing. He phoned me up. And he said, how would I feel about, you know, handling the press? And I was a bit taken aback, but I said, no problem. I said, but listen, Bob. I said, the most important thing about a missing person is you have to go public right away. I said, you got to go on television. You got to talk to newspapers. You've got to tell them exactly when you last saw her and so on and so forth. And he said, oh, yeah, right, okay, let me... He didn't put it like that, actually. It was much more, well, okay. And he said, let me get back to you. Mm-hmm. And he called me on the Saturday and said, well, he decided that maybe, you know, that's not what he was going to do. And then the next thing I knew was a friend of mine from the New York Post phoned and said that Susan Berman was the one who was talking to the press. Mm-hmm. And Susan was the one who was, you know, saying that Kathy was this weirdo, that she used cocaine by the ton and that she was a drunk, and that there was a phone call to the dean of the school where Kathy was studying medicine on the Monday after Kathy disappeared, saying that she was sick and that she wouldn't be in that day. Well, everybody now thinks that Susan Berman called to give an alibi, well, not an alibi to Bob, but to make it appear that Kathy was still alive. And Bob said he put her on the train on Sunday evening. So the general thinking, and I think it's quite true, is the case was reopened about 4 or 5 months before Susan Berman was shot. And the police had, you know, talked to everybody in the New York area again, and they were going out to L.A. to interview Susan Berman a couple of days after Christmas, like, you know, 27th, 28th, and she was shot on Christmas Eve. So the general thinking is that she knew too much. She also had received from Bob Durst two payments of $25,000 each, and the thinking there is, was she blackmailing him?
Okay. Now, this program, The Jinx, which has become a huge, huge interest internationally, is a study of this story, and it was a bit like the Serial podcast we talked about before. And suddenly, when I was there in New York recently, as I said, all the morning shows were playing this clip of Durst muttering to himself.
Yeah.
And he said what? Because he didn't realize his microphone was on as he was being interviewed for this program. What did he say that was the smoking gun?
He said, what have I done? And then, I mean, I can't paraphrase. I mean, I can't say the whole thing. But the very last thing is, he said, killed them all. And that was really chilling. It was sort of like, you know, and he had that habit of talking to himself. And earlier in the program, they had left him with a live mic, and he had talked to himself. He had said that his lawyer in the Black case had basically, now I'm paraphrasing again, had basically said, you know, the whole truth, that's an interpretation, right? So when you swear and you say, I'm going to tell the whole truth, you know, take a look at it, sort of thing. Mm. And they left the mic on and walked away from him. And he said, the whole truth. Nobody tells the whole truth. So it was known that he had that habit. And then he went into the bathroom and he said, you know, what have I done? Kill them all. I mean, it was it was weird. I mean, you know, we all knew he killed her. Intellectually, you could accept that. But emotionally, when you hear him say it, it was really chilling.
Robert Durst, Bob Durst, was arrested in New Orleans, on March the 14th, just gone by. He was found with a loaded revolver, 5 ounces of marijuana, a latex face mask, his birth certificate, a passport, and $40,000 in cash. Where is he today?
Mm-hmm. In prison. And well, actually, he's in a psychiatric prison.
Is he?
Yeah.
And do you?
And he's going to be. He's going to. He was indicted because he was a convicted felon for fleeing on the black case, and he had a gun. That's a he could be sentenced to 10 years in jail for that in New Orleans. He has been indicted on that charge, so now they don't know. He's due to come up in court again in sometime, I think, in June to be tried on that case. And so it's not right clear right now whether he's going to be still in New Orleans or whether they're going to manage to get him out of New Orleans and to L.A. to go on trial for Susan Borman.
OK, well, I mean, that is an intriguing story. And the program's called The Jinx. It starts on Sky Atlantic tonight at 9 p.m. And I think I think a lot of people are going to be really keen to watch that.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right there in the middle of it. Geraldine, tell me, just removing ourselves from that for a moment, you worked in RTE for a while, did you?
I did.
And what were you doing?
I was the first woman to read the news.
That's quite an honour.
There you go.
For us.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad going. And you went over to the States and you were representing people like Rolling Stones, Neil Diamond, James Taylor, all that. Pretty exciting.
Yep.
What were you
it
doing?
Was fun.
What were you up to?
I was a publicist.
And did you
doing their PR.
Did you have a rock and roll lifestyle?
minus the cocaine.
Of course.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd put it like that. I mean, I had a lot of fun, you know. I was at Christy Brinkley and Billy Joel's first wedding, only wedding.
Wow.
You know, and I became friends with a lot of these people, and that's always, you know, nice to go from a professional to a personal relationship. Keith Richards and I became friends, and Ron Woods, Jack Lemmon and his wife Felicia. Mm. It was very interesting, you know. It's sort of like you're sitting in Ireland and looking at a movie and you think, oh, it'd be interesting to meet Jack Nicholson, which I did, because I did the PR for Preachy's Honour.
Oh, right, okay.
The film that he did with Angelica Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
So I met both of them, and I met John Houston, and I met a lot of them. I mean, it was a very, very interesting career. If you've got to work, this is a good job.
Yeah, that is for sure. Well, listen, when you're in Ireland again, will you come and see us maybe and have a coffee with us in studio here? I'd love to meet you.
I will not only have a coffee, I want some of the coffee cake.
Well, we'll make sure that Maya's on the same day. We can all have a good, we'll have a little salon here, a little coffee shop gathering, the three of us. How's that?
Oh, and that would be great. And by the way, Ryan, my daughter-in-law is a very talented young lady called Lisa McInerney, who has a book just on the market. So you should talk to her.
What's it about?
It's called The Glorious Heresies, and it's had absolutely rave reviews.
Okay. Well,
from The Times and from The Independent and various and sundries.
Well, I will...
you should talk to her.
I'll investigate that.
Yeah.
You're ever the publicist, aren't you, Geraldine?
Oh, absolutely.
You're very good at your job.
You can take the woman out of the ball, but you can't take the ball out of the woman.
Listen, such a pleasure to talk to you. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
Thanks so much.
Take
care. That's Geraldine McInerney. What an impressive lady she is. And Geraldine first spoke to the journal.ie's Dan McGill about that dramatic recent arrest of Bob Durst and the disappearance of her friend Cathy McCormack. Sky Atlantic. I don't have Sky Atlantic, which is a pain. Why don't they have that on UPC? That's strange. But I'm sure we can get it. You'll get it somewhere. If you look hard enough, you'll find it somewhere. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Just watch it, and I think it'll be a great old case. It kind of does sound very like Serial. the thing where they piece it all together, and then that bit at the end, the microphone going into the loo. They're there for the grace of God. The things you might say.